Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey, Driven Woman, you know, I just have to rant a little bit, and here's why. I know far too many fabulous female entrepreneurs who should be making bank because they're brilliant at what they do, but they're not. You want to know why? Because they suck at selling. In fact, they think selling is sleazy and gross and don't want to have anything to do with it. So clearly you cannot be making bank if you aren't comfortable putting yourself out there, letting people know what you do, and asking for the money, honey. So to help you, I invited Erica Tevens. Erica is a sales and marketing consultant who specializes in helping women and gender expansive entrepreneurs get comfortable getting paid. Can I get an amen? She works with solopreneurs, coaches, consultants, and service-based small businesses who are brilliant at what they do, but not so brilliant at the visibility, marketing, and frankly, asking for the money. Her non-sleazy sales strategies uncomplicate marketing, simplify selling, and create organic conversations that actually convert. So if you are one of the many, many creative solopreneurs who really don't want to have anything to do with selling, but you got to get paid, this one's for you. In our conversation, Erica and I will talk about, what does she mean by non-sleazy sales? Like, is that even a thing? And how do you do it? How do we uncomplicate marketing so we don't literally hate it and avoid it all the time? And is it even possible that someone who thinks selling is gross and disgusting could get comfortable enough with sales conversations that they actually enroll people and get new clients and get paid for them? Heck yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. And Erica is one of the best. We've got some resources in the show notes that you're going to want to link to for some extra help. And don't forget to visit Erica's website and grab her freebie, also linked to in the show notes. So if you want to get yourself comfortable getting paid, this one's for you, Driven Woman. Here we go. So, Erica, you and I work with a lot of the same people, women and gender expansive entrepreneurs, mostly in the online space, mostly people who are selling services, whether it's done for you, creative work, coaching, consulting, and so forth. And we've talked a little bit about this, that one of the most common problems, aside from what do I sell, who do I sell it to, how much should I charge, all of that stuff, is how often it comes up that people just hate sales.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them don't mind marketing, but they hate sales. And some of them hate all of it. Like, can I just sit back and wait for people to find me and pay me? And I just really don't want to, quote, put myself out there. I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts about why this is, but is this a mostly female problem, or like, what do you think?
I think so. I think predominantly, you know, for anyone who is not in the, you know, specifically like white male, heteronormative, like cisgender population.
Mm-hmm.
When you are conditioned your whole life to sort of, you know, be quiet and not take up too much space and not think too highly of yourself and all of those things, I think then having to turn around and put yourself out there and say, hey, this is who I am and this is what I do and I'm actually really good at it. And if you want it, you can pay me money for it, is very triggering for people. It's very, there's a lot of like mental and emotional friction that goes along with that, because I think it's very much that notion of like, you know, like we hear all the time, like imposter syndrome, or who does she think she is, or who is she to charge that much? You know, just all of these things that get really wrapped up together, which is this feeling of like, I am not valuable. Like the work I do is not valuable. Or if I'm charging well for it, then people will be mad and I will be seen as a bad person and very greedy. And I think that a lot of times I've seen it, and I know there's like data to back this up too, that like that men will just be like, oh, I have this thing I do. It's this much money, well beyond what a female counterpart would have. And they are unapologetic. Actually, a good friend, I was just with a good friend last weekend, and she was telling me about a male coach who she was referred to go talk to. She wasn't super jazzed about it. She was like, I'll do a consult call. And he had just started his like coaching practice. And he even said on the call, like, I don't have a contract yet, but like, you know, I'm working on it. Like he wasn't even bothered. It was just like, yeah, whatever. I'm amazing. Like I don't need it. I'll get around to it eventually. And was very presumptuous, like sent her like a proposal and all of this stuff after she hadn't even said like, yes, I want to work with you or anything. It was just super, super, super presumptuous. And we were like, yeah, like the audacity, like he literally is like brand new to coaching. He'd had some like business background before, but he was brand new to coaching and was just like, and I forget the rate doesn't matter, but she's like, it was hot. Like it was a significant amount of money. And it was just this sort of attitude of like, of course people would pay me this. Like, why would they not? And then he messaged her friend who was like the referral person and said, oh, I'm so excited to get started working with her. And thank you for the referral. And my friend was like,
I don't remember consenting to any of this.
Right. I never said I was going to hire you, bro. But like, so I think that is so common, where on the flip side, I feel like generally, obviously, you know, this is, you know, painting with broad strokes here, but generally women are a lot more like, are you sure? You know, like, I don't want to inconvenience you by making you pay me for, you know, and all of that. I see it all the time.
Yeah. And it, what's interesting about it to me, Erica, is that there's like zero correlation between effort, talent, the value of the product or service, and how the person feels about sharing it. I mean, I remember many years ago watching programs like The Voice and America's Got Talent and thinking there were always people who would stride out on that stage just looking like they freaking owned the place. Mm-hmm. Super confident, you know, a lot of personal charisma. And then they would open their mouth and like mediocre would be a compliment. Like they mm-hmm. just didn't have any game. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Like this person just really feels like super valuable in their singing talent, but they got nothing to back it up. Meanwhile, most of the women that I know who have services to offer online are ridiculously prepared, capable, talented, skilled, credentialed. Their work is impeccable. And they're like, why would anybody want to pay me for this? I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, there's like no connection between the two. Mm-hmm. None.
Yeah. I actually, I think it was 2016, I read Tara Moore's Playing Big.
Yes.
Maybe early 2017, somewhere around that time. And I remember thinking, because I wanted to start the business that I have now. And I remember thinking like, I don't know, there's probably something else that I need. So I was like kind of doing all this research and I was thinking, and I was looking into these like grad programs and these like graduate level certificate programs, and which are, you know, not inexpensive. Like they're a lot of money.
And time consuming.
And super time consuming. And I was going around and around and around. And I happened to read that book, and that book changed everything for me because she has actual case studies with women who are way smarter than I am. Like, highest level, you know, PhD and this, like bananas smart. And how they were all like, oh, well, I want to, you know, start this foundation, or I want to move up to this level in corporate, or I want to do this, I want to do that. And they were like, you know, I think I need another certificate. I think I need to do this. I think, and, you know, and putting these roadblocks in front of them. And it, you know, was really illuminating to me that was like, if these women who, in my mind, are leaps and bounds ahead of where I am, think that they still need more experience or permission or something to do the thing they want to do. Like, there's no hope for me. I either have to just do this and give it a shot, or I need to spend the next decade getting, you know, quote unquote, more experience before I can do it. And when I realized, like, at the time, I was like, I've already been running businesses. Like, I've already been.
Yeah, it wasn't your first rodeo, right?
No, I didn't just wake up one day and was like, you know what?
I think I'll start a business.
Yeah, like, I think I'll just give people sales and marketing strategy because it sounds lucrative. Like, I had already been doing this work, just not officially in the capacity that I do it now. And I was just like, all right, I guess I'm going to do it. And I didn't sign up for any of those certificate programs or anything, but I needed that, like, I needed that kind of reality check to prove to myself that they're like, that women typically just don't feel ready, like, ever.
Yes, it's absolutely true. I think it's that imposter syndrome, imposter complex, however you want to call it. And not feeling ready, not feeling prepared, not feeling qualified, not feeling appropriately credentialed. It's like an epidemic. Mm-hmm. One of the first articles that I read is from the Atlantic magazine. And I'll make sure that I link to the book you just mentioned, Playing Big by Tara Moore, as well as this article in the show notes, was in the Atlantic magazine. I think it was 2018. And the article was called The Confidence Gap. I have read it multiple times. I've referenced it multiple times. The bottom line, Erica, is one of the things that it was like, the words just like flew off the page and burned themselves into my brain, that a man will apply for a job when he meets roughly 50% of the criteria that they're stating mm-hmm. as required and think he's got a shot. Mm-hmm. And this, again, you know, broad generalizations, but women by and large will not apply unless they meet 100% of the qualifications. And even then, they'll feel lucky to get an interview. I'm like, this is seriously fucked up. Like, we've all drank the same Kool-Aid, and we understand this is many, 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 many generations of cultural conditioning that says, you know your place, keep quiet. Who are you to, you know, don't be opinionated, don't take up space, all of that. So, and we're going against all of that to say, actually, I know a thing or two. I'm actually good at what I know, and you should pay me. This is an exchange of value. I'm offering you something of value, my coaching, my consulting, my graphic design, my, you know, marketing consulting, whatever it may be, which you will benefit from. And I should receive something valuable in return. It's really, really challenging. Now, do you think in your work with your clients that people tend to have less problems with marketing, meaning putting their content out, being on social media, showing up live, doing webinars, and then they balk at the sales? Or is it just showing up and asking to be paid across the board is problematic?
I think it's actually, for a lot of people, I think it's the whole package. And it's interesting, like, the world of online business is a lot different than, like, corporate business, because, you know, corporate, you have an entire marketing department, and then you also have an entire sales department. When you're a solo entrepreneur or have a really small team, you're wearing all of the hats, and you kind of have to do all of the things. And what I hear a lot from people is, I just want to do the thing that I do, and I wish somebody else would just do all the sales and marketing for me. And like, even though I love geeking out about sales and marketing, I mean, gosh, that sounds like a dream. Like if I could just, even for me, I'm like, but the reality is to hire that out to somebody who is truly qualified, that's a lot of money. That is not chump change. Like to hire a full-time marketing person and to hire people who will do your sales calls for you and all of that is a lot of money. And it doesn't necessarily work for every business and every brand. And generally speaking, for the people I work with, they are not trying to get thousands upon thousands of clients or customers a year. They only need a few at a time. I mean, I do work with some course creators. That's a different animal, right. Different strategy involved. But you really only need a few clients at a time to hit your revenue goals. So it also doesn't usually make sense to fully hire that out unless you have, you know, 10,000 and up dollar packages. And so I think the reality is finding ways that you can be empowered in it and where you can do it sustainably for yourself that doesn't feel gross and you will actually show up for and do. I feel like that is really my favorite thing to do, is equip people with fundamental sales and marketing strategies so that they can always be in control of their own revenue. Granted, we can never, like, you can never 100% predict it, because you can never strong arm people, or you shouldn't, you know, into signing on with you, but you can at least have some predictability in your profits.
I also think that, you know, that the notion of outsourcing all of your sales and marketing might seem appealing, but who can better represent what you offer as a coach, as a consultant, as a service provider than you? Like, You're a personal brand. I'm a personal brand. Like, who's going to represent me to a potential prospect or client better than the actual me?
Right. Right.
Because they may like, let's say I've got a sales associate and I say, you need to schedule the calls, you need to screen them, and you need to sell them into my programs. Then I'm going to acquire clients that I don't know. I didn't choose. What if I don't like them? You know, that person got paid their commission and they're like, well, now you got to work with the person. It's like, One of the things I love about being a small business, a service provider, and an entrepreneur is that I get to handpick the people that I work with. I love that.
Yeah, I love it too. And actually, I think there's like a level of, you know, sometimes you have that sales call and you just get a gut feeling and you're like, this isn't right, you know? And then
it's like
you,
a date, right? Like, yeah. I really don't want to have coffee with this person again, even if I've got a caffeine withdrawal headache and they're literally the only person left on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you get, you know, you get to decide and, you know, really make that choice for yourself, which is good and which is important. And also, even if, let's say you were outsourcing and then that person had to stop working for you for some reason, are you going to put everything on hold until you can find a replacement? I mean, probably not. So it's, I think it's just a really good idea to be able to understand some of these essentials so that you are never at the mercy of waiting around on someone else.
No, also a really good point. And I think you and I have a similar philosophy in that I don't have an aversion to sales personally. I have an aversion to sales done poorly. I have an aversion to bro marketing and manipulation and sales that feel disrespectful and coercive. My husband and I were recently in Puerto Vallarta with some friends for a week, and they used to call them timeshares now.
They've
rebranded the name, but it's like, make no mistake, this is a freaking timeshare. It's so interesting. And you will absolutely identify with this. So it's very hardcore sales because it's a high-end product, right? And there were three guys in expensive suits and nice haircuts and expensive shoes. But they kept us for hours, Erica, hours. And at the end of it, I had told them multiple times, I'm not making a decision today. My husband and I are going to talk about it. Offering us to go out on the patio for 5 minutes is not my idea of informed consent. And I'd like to go now. And we were still there. And all of a sudden, I noticed these three dudes were physically situated around the table in such a way that none of us could get up and leave without them standing up and moving out of our way. And I started feeling like a hostage. Like, I literally can't leave this room without them physically moving out of my way. And I have indicated on multiple accounts that we're done here and we're still here. So I think a lot of people think about sales as bringing up feelings like that. And most women and non-binary people especially are very sensitive and empathic and don't want other people to be uncomfortable with them in any way. So I think just like you say, it's triggering. But one of the things you teach that I really would like to get into is the fact that because we're aversive to sales and marketing, we tend to overcomplicate it. And as a person with ADHD, I totally identify with procrastination and perfectionism as being very effective ways of avoiding things I'm uncomfortable with. I don't do it deliberately, but when you just keep tweaking your sales page so that it never gets in front of eyeballs, you call that perfectionism, but it's also related to sales avoidance. So one of the things you teach is how to uncomplicate your marketing so that it's not so aversive. Could you talk about that a little?
Yeah. So the reality is that all marketing is, like, we think marketing and we're like, which social media platform should I be on? Or, you know, do I need to do Facebook ads? Or I feel like there's all of these things that we're like, this is marketing.
Yeah.
But all marketing really is getting yourself in front of the people who are most likely to say yes to whatever it is that you do. And obviously business existed long before the internet, long before social media. Like, we've, you know, people have been doing this successfully. And so it's not so much about tactics. It's not, oh my God, I have to do reels now, or should I be on Clubhouse or TikTok or all of these things. It's less about that. And it's more about, you know, where is, like, my idealiest of ideal clients. So not like...
Did you just make up a new word?
I think I just made up a new word.
I do that all the time. I love that.
Yes. So, you know, what are they thinking, feeling, saying, doing that dovetails with the thing that you do? And then think about your own special magic, your approach to the thing that you do, and talk about it. Talk about what that is and let them know, hey, I know what you are experiencing. Like, you are probably experiencing XYZ, like, not that we're like digging into pain points, but just saying like, I get it. I see you. I get you. I understand what's happening. And all hope is not lost. There is a different solution. There's a solution here that will make your life potentially look like ABC. And I have a thing that can help get you there. And it looks like this. And are you interested? That's really like all that it comes down to. And it's understanding that there are people who are going to most likely want to raise their hand to say yes to you. And then there's going to be a whole lot of people who are not the right fit for various reasons. And then there's going to be some people in the middle who are curious, but it's just going to, they're going to need to hang around a little bit longer before either they feel comfortable with you, especially depending on whatever the work is that you do. And also before they themselves are ready to get that problem solved or get that, whatever the thing is that you have. So there's this, you know, awareness. There's nurturing, And there is getting them to feel that level of trust that if I pay you money, I will get the result that I'm hoping for and not be scammed or disappointed.
Mm. How much do you think the fact that we're talking about money impacts the difficulty that people have? Because sometimes what I've noticed, Erica, is that even when we're talking about just making an offer for free, people will freeze up. Because like in the coaching world, a lot of people do free coaching for a period of time to gain experience, maybe get some testimonials. Maybe their certification requires free coaching for a period of time. And I noticed that sometimes just what you, and the way you've laid it out very simply is, I'm going to paraphrase, you have a problem or a need. I have a potential solution. Can I tell you about it? Like super, super simple. And then there will be some people that'll be a hell yeah. Some people that'll be a hell no. Some people will be an, I need to think about it. And some people will be, well, maybe I don't, I'm not sure that I need that. They need more information and more time. It can be that simple. But
yeah,
do you think money is one of the biggest hangups? Or do you see with the people that you work with that just even saying you have a problem and I have a solution is a hang up as well, before we even get to the exchange of value?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really like, you know, we are told our whole lives, like, don't brag on yourself. Like it's really not okay to own our strengths, right? Even if somebody gives you a compliment when you're younger, you know, like, oh, you're really pretty, or I really love your hair, or like whatever. I feel like we are very conditioned to be like, to downplay it. Like, oh, you know,
talk them out of it, you know, like, oh yeah, it's died, or
The
need to, when people would say they thought I had pretty eyes, I would feel the need to tell them I wear contact lenses and I'm almost legally blind. Like, that doesn't take away from it, but it's sort of like, oh no, you don't really mean that.
Right. Right. Like instead of just going like, oh, thank you. It's like, you know, yeah, we're like, oh, this dress, oh, it's like so old and we know whatever. It's like, instead of just saying thank you, or like even being like, oh my gosh, I know, isn't it amazing? It's my favorite dress. Like it looks great on me and I feel wonderful when I wear it. Right. Like it's because it's, you know, we're not allowed to think well of ourselves, really, because I feel like we, especially for women, there's sort of this attitude of like, you know, the like pie theory, like there's only so much pie. And if we take more than our fair share, then somebody goes without. And it's like, no, it's infinite pies. Everyone gets as much pie as
they want. I'm a pie shop, bitch. I'm just going to make more pies.
I'm just going to make more pies. Right. And so I think that it, to say like, I truly am at a place now, I'm in my fourth year of my
current business
where I'm like, yeah, I'm actually really good at what I do. Like there's a lot of things in the world that I super suck at. Like you would not want to pay me any money to do. You would be incredibly disappointed. But I am really,
I wouldn't even take it for free when we're talking about the really shitty stuff, right?
Yeah. You don't even tap dancing. No, you don't even want to see me attempt to do that. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
But the work I do, I feel really good about. And I can confidently say I am good. Like if you invest in me and you are the right fit person and you do the work, it will be good. You will have good results. But even that took a long time to be able to just confidently say it in the way that I just did.
Can we break it down for just a second?
Yeah.
Here's my question. Because a lot of people, you know, they have, like you've said, like lots of degrees, lots of certifications, and they keep thinking, I'll feel confident when I reach this level, or I will feel confident when someone pays me this amount, or when I'm earning this amount annually, or when I get like this level of client or whatever. But it's like we just keep moving that ability to be confident, as you've just described. We just keep adding more conditions and pushing that goal further out. So let's say, you know, an aspiring and emerging entrepreneur is listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, ladies, like, respect, but I don't have 10 years to get confident. Like, I need mm-hmm. to own my shit right now. I need to make some money. Like, is there a way to fast track it? Because I agree, like, for most of us, it takes a lot of repetition of producing successful outcomes and getting appreciation and compliments and testimonials. Like, it feels like it's an incremental weighing of evidence. Mm-hmm. And we just keep getting more. Oh, they were happy. Oh, and they were happy too. And then, oh, this one said I should charge more because I'm really good. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it just keeps stacking up until you reach a point where you're like, you know, maybe I am good at this.
Yeah.
Actually, I am good at this. I'm really good at this. But it's like, what if you don't have 10 years to like mm-hmm. let the evidence pile up? Is there a way to kind of name it and claim it sooner?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, on the other side of this is, even though I can say I'm good at what I do, like, this is, I have also come to embrace the fact that there will never be a top of the mountain in my business, in my business or my clients' businesses, or any, it's an impossibility, because the most ambitious, driven people I know, once we get to the level where we're like, oh, this is comfortable. Okay. We're like, okay, what's the next challenge? And then exactly. There is this realm of, I don't feel ready. I'm really uncomfortable. Yes. I don't feel confident. This is really scary. What if I fail? What if I fuck it up? You know, the whole thing. And so we are constantly evolving and pushing beyond our comfort zones. And I have found the only way that you can do this effectively is to do the scariest thing, which is to do the work and get that feedback loop from people. Like, you literally have to prove it to yourself, I think, that you can do it. And the reason why I can confidently say now, oh, I'm good at this, is because, kind of to your point of, I have done it long enough and have enough proof that it's like, okay, I can't ignore the proof of the results now. And I think that there's always this level of, back to the money part. And yes, like, you, the money part, like, I will just say, and I actually told her this the other day, but Denise Duffield Thomas's Money Bootcamp, I did that in 2017. I owe so much to that program. I told her the other day, like, cause she has, it's open right now, like, for enrollment. And I was like, if you said we made a clerical error and you had to come back and charge me again, all over again, 4 years later, I would pay all over again for that course, because getting comfortable with asking for money, earning it, receiving it, holding on to it, all of that. Was
believing it's yours and not going to fall out of your pocket. And
yeah, I can't even put a value on it. It's been tremendous. But then, like, there's also this level of, which is why I hate the advice when people are like, just double your rates. If you don't feel confident in whatever you're charging, you will sabotage yourself. So you have to charge an amount that you can confidently say, and then do the work and get the proof and prove it to yourself. And then you will get to a point where you will go, I am not getting paid enough for these results. And then you will be able to raise your price and then confidently sell it for that. Like, I think all the way back to what I used to charge at the very beginning. And I'm like, well, good on those people, because they got a killer deal.
Yes.
But if somebody had just said, you have to charge them all the way back then that I charge now, I literally never would have marketed myself, because I would have been so afraid that somebody would see the price on my website and just be, you know, aghast at the rate, or that they would book a call and I would have stumbled all over myself saying, oh, this is what it costs to work with me, because I hadn't proved to myself yet that my knowledge was worth that rate, that the ROI on that investment would actually hold up to what I was charging. And so, and I just know I, when I was with that same friend who I mentioned earlier, last weekend, we were talking about, so we started our businesses at the same time, and we used to have similar businesses prior to this. And we were reflecting back on how far we've come in 4 years. Mm-hmm. And we were like, so this means that 4 years from now, we will look back on this place and go, I can't believe we were only
change.
Yeah. Like, you know, and it's hard to envision that that will be the, like, it's almost like, well, what the heck are we going to be doing then? And what will we be charging then? And, but we have enough proof now that, like, even though we don't know what it will look like, we know that it will be different. And we know
this is the trajectory that you're on.
Yes.
And I really appreciate that you are bringing this up, Erica, and that we're like teasing it apart, because I think that, are you familiar with the book, The Big Leap by Kay Hendricks?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I think about the upper limit issues, specifically about what we think we're worth. I don't mean like intrinsically, but like the value of our work. And I think it's really an identity issue.
Mm-hmm.
And identity is not transformed overnight.
Right.
You think about a person who's transgender, they go through years of transformation to embrace their new identity fully. And I think as I agree with you in your in terms of talking about, we keep evolving, we keep leveling up. It's an identity transformation at each stage. So recognizing this is the value of my work to get to the next level. I've heard those coaches and gurus say, double your rates. And I've literally see people say, okay, well, my coach said I have to do that. So they did it, sold nothing. Because you're right, they're out of alignment with their current identity. Their current identity is not charging that much, because if they were in alignment with that identity, they already would be charging that much. So I think it's like an incremental evolution of like you're piling up the evidence that, oh, this is where I should be now. And I think when people go too fast, either because they've got a coach that's like, you know, egging them on or telling them that's what you have to do, or some other way, oftentimes we will sabotage, or just because we're out of alignment, we won't be able to show up in an authentic sales conversation that's compelling and that converts. Something will be off. And maybe even if we don't notice it, the other person will feel like something's off here. I've heard the advice that you should, to decide what your prices should be, you should charge the amount that makes you feel nauseous to say it. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, because listen, I hate being nauseous. Like I hate it almost more. I think I'd rather have a really bad headache than be nauseous. Yeah. I just hate it.
It's gross.
So if I had that in the back of my mind that, oh, every time I get on a sales call, it will induce nausea, how much am I going to market that offer?
Yeah.
Probably not very much, right? And like, yeah. So I think it's really just, yeah, you can't, like the only time I've ever doubled my rate was because I had a great coach who was like, you know, for the people who you want to have for that offer, they will look, because pricing also does tell a story.
Yes.
And she was like, they will look at your price
and say, she must not be very good.
Right. And I was like, okay. And so immediately we got off that call. I went on, I doubled my rate. It was still a little bit scary, but as soon as I got the first person who paid it, I was like, yep, here we go. This will be fine.
Because it was a different customer.
Yeah.
The customer who looked at the higher rate and said, this validates that she's good. They make their financial decisions from a different place than the customer that would pay the lower rate.
Yeah. It's sort of like, you know, if you know, the Walmart marketing team is very different than the BMW marketing team. They know who they're talking to, and BMW does not feel guilt that some people cannot afford BMWs. They're not talking to everyone. Right. They are talking to the people most likely to invest in a BMW.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like that is, you know, once I kind of was like, when she put it to me that way, I was like, oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means like, I won't even go down this rabbit hole, but like, when you do that, you also might have to tweak your messaging. You also might have to change your marketing strategy. There are other things that are going to come into play when you change your rate. And I think far too often,
because you're talking to a different customer.
Yeah. And I think far too often what happens on the other side, and I could rant all day about this,
but we won't.
But people can come into my DMs and we can rant about it. But it's just that I think far too often people get disappointed when they make investments in online coaches and online programs and things like that, because the provider has raised the price so high, but they haven't changed they're marketing it to the wrong person. And
yes,
so that person feels like, well, they're saying it's for me. And
there's a disconnect.
Yeah, there's a disconnect. So they invest and then it's a mismatch. And so I think that that's a huge issue too.
Totally, totally makes sense. Hey, I want to make sure that driven women that are listening right now and saying, you know what? I know I need help with my sales and marketing. I know that what I'm offering is valuable. There are people out there who need me. And I've been tweaking the shit out of my stuff endlessly. I need to start getting paid. What's the first step they can take towards getting to know you better and seeing what you're about?
I would say, since they're obviously already podcast listeners, go check out my Sell It Sister podcast episodes. I have over 100. So go over there, skim through. I'm sure you'll find something that will serve you with where you're at right now. So give that a listen. If you dig what I've got going on, obviously subscribe. And I'm also on Instagram at Erica Tebbins Consulting. Like, seriously, come by, say hi, tell me you found me here. And then I have a free resource. It's very, very quick. It's not a sales script or anything. It's my signature sleaze-free sales framework, my method. Mm. And if you go to bit.ly/no-sleaze-selling, it's all lowercase and it's all one word, you will get that. It explains my whole sales acronym. It's very easy to remember. It's very easy to implement, and that will definitely help you.
Fabulous. And since some of you may be driving, running, walking the dog, washing dishes, changing a baby, or otherwise, I'll make sure that we link to that and everything else we've talked about in the show notes. So I am very sure we are going to have more conversations in the future. But for now, thank you so much for being on The Driven Woman and giving us another way of thinking about sales and marketing. Because seriously, ladies, if you're not selling, you've got a hobby, not a business.
Yes.
That's all for now.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD, and has got it going on. I have 2 openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice. And now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute. You know,
yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.